Good morning, Midtown Man. Oh, fuck. You miserable old cunt! Ah! You know? Yeah, fuck yeah. Some days, I can be. Look, with this diabetic shit, you got to be careful of foods that are really high in carbohydrates, especially the simple carbohydrates. That means flour, potatoes, all that sort of stuff, okay? Now, because I've got, you know, enough brain cells to rub two sticks together, you know, I was thinking I need to restock the car with tinned food, but something that's got a bit of... Oh, fuck off! What's going on? Anyway, so... I need to restock the car, and I want to do it after that fucking episode of that Aldi tinned beef meaty, super meaty, chunky fucking beef stew, you know. Well, I actually measured up all, I just thought, fuck, you know, they show the spoon and they've got all these little meaty, tiny little meaty chunks in it, but there's a lot of them on the spoon, but when you open the can, there's fuck all meat in the can. And so what I did is I got the contents of the can, I sieved it out for all the solid products, and I go, these are the little chunks of meat, and these are the chunks of potatoes, these are the chunks of fucking carrot, these are the chunks of peas, you know what I mean? And essentially the rest was kind of like a veggie sort of soup, sort of, you know, a bit of flour in it to thicken it up. And so out of a 500 gram tin, you end up with like about 12 grams of fucking identifiable chunks of meat and about 100 grams of vegetables all up, and the rest was all water, something like that. It's in one of the earlier videos, you know, where I've said fuck Aldi, you know, and I said, well, fuck this, I need to actually get food to eat. I need food to eat. I need nutrition. I need something to fill up my belly, you know. And so I said, well, you know, tins of, looking around at all the different tinned meat products, you know, I said, well, meat's not bad because you can cut it with other things and the tin stuff keeps forever, you know. So, you know, I can do a bit of mixing and matching with fresh ingredients and bits and pieces and stuff like that, but basically it means if I'm in the middle of nowhere and I really need to fucking have a feed, I can just whip out a can opener and I can either eat it out of the can or I can cook it up, you know. And one of the things I'm rather fond of, like I don't buy it much because it's sort of, you know, it works out to be about $10 a kilo for two tins, you know, two 400 gram tins and $4.50 or something, and rounding up and down and fucking, but it's about $10 a kilo. So I thought, well, it says it's nut meat, but actually it's about 20% peanut and the rest of it is gluten or wheat protein, you know, and a little bit of onion and spices and vitamins and minerals and shit, you know, a bit of zinc and fucking B12 and stuff, you know. And I thought, well, then I looked at the carbohydrate levels, and basically there's about two grams, fuck, whatever it is, it's about 2 grams per 100 grams is carbohydrate. And I thought, fuck, that's really good, that's really low. And so what comes out of that is that I thought, well, rather than buy wheat, which is basically, you know, you separate out about, say, 13% protein, the rest is all starch, and starch is basically when you put it in, you mix a bit of starch with a bit of stomach acid, it breaks down into glucose or glucosines, glucosides, you know, basically it's sugar, you know. It's the stored sugar of the plant. And that doesn't seem to vary much across the different species, you know, from spelt to rye to fucking modern wheats, you know. That they're like, you know, 80% fucking carbohydrate, you know. Give or take a bit, you know. But wheat gluten by itself is what's commonly called, you know, used as textured vegetable protein, you know, in foods, and that's basically zero, not almost zero carbs, but so low it's fucking fine, you know. And so then I set off on this expedition to try and find people who can supply wheat gluten, or preferably organic wheat or rye, you know, spelt gluten, you know, whatever, you know. But the wheat gluten, I thought I'll buy a bag of that and I can try that, because you can add a bit of it to meat, a bit of it to different foods, you know what I mean, as a thickener, as an extender, as a filler, you know. And, you know, and I ran across three fucking women in a row that worked at a flour mill, you know, and they've all got fucking shit for brains. They have no fucking idea what is actually in the wheat, you know. Like, you get the husk, then you get the germ, which is the little spore thing sort of thing, you know, the living sort of starter bit where the leaves and roots spout from, you know, sprout from. The endosperm, the, you know, the components of the wheat, which are the protein content, the fucking, you know, starch, the moisture content, all that sort of shit, you know what I mean? I don't know the exact sort of science of absolutely fucking everything to do with it, but I would regard myself as being reasonably formidable on the subject. And these cunts work at this place and they don't know that gluten and protein are different words for the same compound or compounds, group of compounds in the fucking wheat. You know, the 30% protein content, you say, oh, no, sorry, we don't sell wheat protein. Well, what about gluten? Oh, yeah, we sell that. Well, it's the same fucking product, and they don't know that. You know what I mean? This is like, you know, like going to McDonald's and asking for fucking, can I have some fries? And they go, oh, fries, what do you mean? You know, fuck. Well, can I have a McFamily meal? Oh, did you want fries with that? Oh, fuck yeah, you know. This is how fucking stupid these fucking women are. How old are you? This is the industry you're working in, and you don't know the first fucking thing about the fucking product, you know? It's a flour mill, you know? You mill flour. People grow all this stuff, then they bring it to you, and you grind it up and bag it as different flours, and then you separate the compounds. You separate the fucking protein from the bloody, you know, flour, and sell that as straight gluten, and you can't tell me fucking you don't know the difference between protein and gluten, because they're the same fucking thing. And if I say, oh, I want to buy wheat protein, oh, we don't sell that. Well, what about gluten? Oh, fuck you. We sell that, but we can't sell it to you. Well, why not? Oh, fuck yeah. Just, you know, stupid men marry stupid women. You know, this is like, you know, a bottle of fucking, you know, oh, fuck, you know, this just gets up my fucking ass. This is, you know, no, I don't know, not my job. You know, every time they do, say, 1,000 ton of fucking wheat, you know, and they get extract, you know, 130 tons of fucking gluten or whatever, you know. Put up, you know, they put out 100 bags for sale for local, you know. not just commercial contracts, you know what I mean? So people can buy this stuff, you know, and make their own breads, you know, and make their own foods with, you know, high sort of protein, low carbohydrate levels, you know. Well, I can't do that, it's not my job. Well, make it your fucking job, you know. They just, the fucking stupid just goes on forever. So I'm including a little bit of a Wayne Dyer track, you know, on you know, the ducks in, what I've sliced this out of a long talk, but I've called it the ducks in the duck pond talk, you know, where they all just swim around going whack 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 whack, you know, not my job, you know, and that's informative. Then I'm going on to the recordings of the calls. You know, and this is why there are some women around who are pretty on the fucking ball, and there are a lot of women who have no fucking idea, and they show no initiative. You know, I'm glad I know stuff. I'm glad I'm reading. I'm glad I'm studying, you know what I mean? But it really shits me that I come across so many people in so many industries that I know more than what they fucking do, and they've worked there for 50 fucking years, you know what I mean? They go, oh, what do you mean? Oh, I don't know about that. Well, I do know about that, and I've just fucking told you, you know? Pay attention. So, anyway.
I believe that success is an inner concept. Inner concept. It is something that is part of your own inner development. When you have it inside of you, and you cultivate that, and that's what I want to try to help parents to do with their children, when you carry that around inside of you, you bring it to every single thing that you do in life. Everything that you do. You bring it to your children. You don't get it from raising them the right way. You don't get it by closing the deal. You bring it to every aspect of the deal. You don't get it by focusing on your commission and how much am I going to get and if I divide this and if I do that and always being concerned with your own quotas. You get it by forgetting about your quotas and focusing on your customers. You forget about you and all the things that you're going to get out of what you're doing in life as a happy, contented, fully functioning, no limit human being. You simply go out and advance confidently in the direction of your own dreams and endeavor to live your own kind of life the way you choose, making every day a miracle. And success will chase after you and arrive in your life in amounts greater than you ever anticipated in any present moment of your life. There's an old parable, and the old parable goes like this. There's an old cat, and there's a little kitten out in the alley. And a little kitten is chasing its tail. You ever see a little kitten do that? They chase, and chase, and chase, and chase, and chase. And the old cat comes up to and stops them and says, what the hell are you doing? He said, well, I've been to cat philosophy school. I've been studying cat philosophy. And I've discovered that there are two things in the world that are important for a cat. One is that happiness is the most important thing for a cat. And two, that happiness is located in your tail. So what I figured out is that if I chase it and chase it and I finally get a hold of it and get it in my mouth, and I will have a lock on eternal happiness. And the old cat said, you know, I haven't had the opportunities to go to cat philosophy school like you. I've kind of wandered around the alleys all my life. He said, you know, it's really amazing. I've learned the same things you have. I've learned that the most important thing for a cat is happiness, and indeed, that it is located in my tail. He said, the only difference between you and I, he said, I've discovered, is that if you go about your business and do the things that are important to you, it'll follow after you wherever you go. Isn't that a nice parable? It's an interesting notion. I use the analogy of the bag boys. There are one baggers and two baggers in the world. The one bagger is the bag boy in the store who, when he's bagging your groceries, he's sort of tired and he's sort of got a real bad attitude about what he's doing, and he's only getting a few dollars an hour, and he picks up a loaf of bread and puts it at the bottom and put a few tomatoes down there to keep it nice so that the bread and tomatoes mix nice when the can of grapefruit juice goes on top of it or whatever. And he doesn't give a damn. And he's slow. And his attitude is that there's no one cashier in the world that I cannot make stop and help me bag an order, even if they've only got one item. All right? That's his philosophy. And he kind of goes and does that. Now, you look at that and you say, well, maybe it's just because he's bagging groceries. That's what it is. But it's not. You see, because right in the same store, there's somebody else making the same money, who's got the same benefits, who is like a double bagger. And his philosophy is, there's no two cashiers in the world that I cannot keep up with. They'll never have to touch a bag. And then there are a few that are triple baggers. I used to be a triple bagger. I worked for Kroger's through my master's, bagging groceries. That's what I got through it and paid for it. I used to make a contest and see if I could get three cashiers and bag for all three of them and say something pleasant to them and have fun. And the hour would go by like that, and the people would always want to come to my lines, and there was that kind of a fun thing. I looked forward to doing it. Now, the one baggers, 5 years later, they get passed over for a job promotion for manager of a store if they're still there. And they go home and they tell their wife that that shouldn't have happened. They passed me over. They're prejudiced. They don't like me because I'm too tall, or I'm too short, or I'm the wrong color, or I'm the wrong size, or I'm a female, or I'm a male, or whatever it is. They've got their reasons, you see. And they go through their whole lives being single baggers. Even up into their retirement year, they're still making excuses and finding fault and blaming the rest of the world for what is it. And the double bagger owns a chain of Kroger stores. There's an old saying in management, and this is something for you to really remember. Don't send your ducks to Eagle School. Okay? Now think about that. We got a lot of ducks in the world, and there's just very few eagles. And trying to get a duck to become an eagle is one of the toughest jobs you'll run into in life. There's ducks everywhere. And there are very, very few eagles who are willing to soar. See, ducks sort of think in duck-like ways. And when you try to train them to be an eagle, they just don't seem to get the message. They have this impossibility kind of thinking. They have this notion that we've always done things this way, that this is the book, this is the way we do it. Just flying over here yesterday from Miami, I noticed that on the flight there was a flight attendant, and the drinks, they were like 18 rows behind. They served the meal, and then way, way, way up at the front was this cart, and you knew the way they were going, that the cart wasn't going to get to the meals until the meal was done. And I like to have something to drink while I'm eating, as most people do. And I just said to my daughter sitting next to me, and why do they only take one order at a time? I mean, why, when the six people sitting across, it was a 727, three, and the girl would say, what would you like? And she would then take that, and then she would take the ice, and she would put it in there, and then she would pour, and then she would hand it to her. Then she'd say to the next person in the middle, what would you like? And she would do that for six people. Now, I mean, an eagle would just say, all right, what do you six people want? Right? Wouldn't you? But the book isn't that way. For some reason, the book isn't done that way. I mean, an eagle would have been right with the food trays all the time. The ducks just, if you get there, you get there. I mean, if it happens, it happens. If you get something to drink an hour after the flight is over and you're getting your bag, oh, by the way, here's your juice that you wanted. And you see, when you talk to those people, when you talk to ducks, you get duck quack, quack, quack talk a lot. I mean, at a bank not too long ago, I was talking to a teller, and the teller was on hold. She had somebody on just the sort of like terminal hold. I mean, she'd been there for a long time on this hold, you know. And I was the next person in line, and I just simply said to her, could you just make this deposit? I just want to deposit this check, and I want to get out of here. Sir, I can only do one thing at a time. I go, whack, 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 whack. Wah, wah, wah. I said, only one? I could do 10 things at a time.
If you want to be an eagle, you got to be looking for the mice down here. You got to be looking out for telephone poles. You got to be thinking about your little eaglets. I mean, you got a million things you got to do at once. I mean, who among you can only do one thing at a time? No parent out there can ever do only one thing at a time. You'd never get anything done, ever, in your life. The little ones, you have to learn how to read a book and watch them swimming and still be able to make your dinner that night. I mean, you just learn how to do that when you're effective. Or you just sit around and say, I can only do one thing at a time. And there's this one thing at a time mentality. There's this duck-like mentality that you run into all the time. And see, I was used to it because even in the orphanage, I mean, our whole room was just one great big duck pond, all right? It was. I mean, the teacher would get up and say to all the other kids, this is the worst class I've ever had in my life. I just can't stand it. And four or five of those kids would walk out of there feeling guilty, you know. And I'd say to them, this is the worst class you ever had. Her life must be great. We're so easy, you know. Why are you falling into this guilt pattern? Why are you letting this teacher? And they just go home and they'd feel bad and manipulated with that kind of stuff. Well, I was running into this kind of mentality everywhere. Last Friday, I spoke up in Orlando, and they put me in this beautiful Marriott hotel at the airport there. It's a wonderful hotel. And they put me on the ninth floor. It's called the concierge level, you know. They have a concierge. And this concierge sort of takes care of you. They give you little appetizers, and they give you a little juice, and a little bar there, and they charge you $100 more a night, all right? But they hire people to be these concierges. Now, it's not a great job, but it's not a bad job. So the first night that I was there, they had appetizers, and I went out, and appetizers went from 7 to 9, hot appetizers. Well, I didn't finish running until about 10 after 9. I went in and I said, well, I'd like to take some appetizers back. And the guy said, no problem, I'll get you some. He said, they close at 9, but I know a guy downstairs in the kitchen, and I'll go down and I'll bring some up, and would you like a beer? I said, yeah, a cold beer would really be great. And he said, they've got some real nice little chocolate-like things for dessert, little eclairs, and would you like a cup? I said, that'd be great. This guy had no idea who I was or anything like that. And he went out of his way after the time, and all right, that was terrific. Huh? The next morning, they have a continental breakfast on the same floor. And so you're supposed to be through with breakfast by 9:30. So I went out there about 9:45 or whatever it was. And I said, I know that you're closed. There was somebody else there. There was a duck there. Okay? And they replaced the eagle with the duck. And the duck said, wah, wah, wah. Sir, continental breakfast closes at 9:30. It's 10:15. I'm sorry. I said, I know that. I understand. But I said, I just like some orange juice. I'm really thirsty. I've just finished running. I've got to give a talk this afternoon. And she said, sir, 9:30. It says it very clearly. I'm the guy paying $125 a night for the concierge, and she's dismissing me. You see the difference? The difference is like, it's an attitude. It's what one person believes. Now, I can assure you, if you follow through on these two concierges, that you're going to see that eagle soaring all through his life. And this other person is going to go from that job to probably one a little more demeaning and a little more demeaning, and is always going to be wondering why. And if you're looking for people, if you're ever in employment and looking for ways of recruiting people and so on, I'd say great employees are found. They're not trained. They're found. You go out there and you find those people who have that attitude, and then you can help them to do anything and to be anything when they've got that inner attitude. Not too long ago, I was at the airport in O'Hare. I've got to tell you this story. It was at Delta Airlines. They're usually a terrific airline. They practice teaching people attitudes more than anything. And I was going to get on a flight in the afternoon to fly down to Fort Lauderdale. They canceled my flight. Now, I said to the fellow, well, that's okay, because I know you have a flight 45 minutes from now, and it goes to West Palm Beach. And that's only 20 miles away, so, and they had 90 empty seats on it. I said, you can just put me on that flight, and I'll fly down. And he looked in the computer, he said, I'm sorry, we can't do that. I said, why not? He said, because the computer says that those are two separate cities. Miami and Fort Lauderdale are considered the same city, but Fort Lauderdale and West Palm are considered different cities. And he said it would be just the same as if you asked if you could go to San Francisco. I mean, it's just a different city as far as the computer's concerned. We can't do that. I'm sorry. You'll have to take a flight 4 hours from now, and we've got you covered, and you'll be on that flight. I said, you mean you canceled the flight? And you won't let me get on a flight that's 20 miles from the airport that I went on to because the computer says it's a separate city? He said, that's right. I'm sorry. There's just nothing else I can do. Now, you've heard this. You all hear this. I said, as I usually do, I'd like to just talk to somebody else. Anybody else. He said, I'm sorry, sir. He said, whoever I bring out, if you want to see a supervisor, he's so used to this, a supervisor, you know, that if I bring out a supervisor, they're just going to tell you the same thing. And he went behind the doors. I said, wait, don't go behind those doors. You know the doors they go behind? You know what's back of the doors? Duck pond. There's a duck pond back there. There is. He was going to bring out another duck. I said, don't go upstairs. Just go up some stairs. Any stairs and see if you can find an eagle. He said, what the hell are you talking about? I said, anybody you bring out, I don't care who it is, bring out somebody who doesn't already believe it can't be done. That's the only kind of person I want. I don't want a guarantee or anything like that. I don't want that. I just want to talk to a human being who doesn't believe it can't be done. And they did. They sent me out an eagle, and I got the flight that I wanted, and everything worked out just the way it was supposed to work out. You must understand that the world is full of those kind of single baggers. And you have to really watch out that you don't become one yourself.
Now, I want to tell you, success, again, is an inner process. When you have it inside of you, you're not looking for it. And consequently, you bring success to everything that you do. I've never believed that people who work real hard and do all the right things make a lot of money and then become successful. I think it's the other way around. I think successful people make a lot of money at whatever they do and make a lot of friends and all of that, because the successful person is someone who has it within them, and they bring it to all these different things. And so they're never looking for it, and they're not surprised at how well they do at virtually everything. When I go down to my mailbox and there's not a check in the mail from someplace for me, I'm surprised. I'm surprised that something didn't come into me that day. Whereas I used to be surprised when every once in a while a check would come into my life. And I never care whether checks come into my life. It just doesn't make any difference. I don't focus on money and trying to get it. I focus more on what I'm doing, what I believe in, and my mission, and I live that, and all the other stuff gets taken care of. It all just gets taken care of. And it's all so perfect if we only stop to realize that it is.
Hi, I'm interested in some of the organic type grains you sell, but I'm also interested in the protein byproduct or the protein extracted from it.
Sorry, so are you selling organic grain?
I want to buy some bags of it.
Not the flour, like the grain?
Well, you know, protein from the flour, yeah.
Sorry, I'm not sure what you mean. Do you mean our flour?
Yes, but the protein from the flour. Well, why don't you go to fucking school and learn something? Oh, g'day. The last chick I talked to there had absolutely no idea about, you know, the flour business, you know.
How can I help?
I want to buy some wheat protein.
Sorry, my phone line is really crackling today. It's not...
Yeah, wheat protein.
Wheat protein.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, preferably something from the organic rye type grains or spelt.
So we don't actually distribute them individually. It's generally we just do the we either get grain in or sell the flour out.
Okay.
So yeah, we don't actually sell it as a product itself.
Well, it's straight gluten.
Oh, gluten, you said?
Well, that's what wheat protein is, yeah.
Right, okay. Let me have a look at... Do-do-do-do-do-do. Just waiting for my program to boot up. Sorry about that. It's taking its time. wait. This is taking its time. So just glue.
Protein.
Just the gluten.
Yeah.
Right. So this is for a company.
Do you sell it or not?
The gluten.
Have we suddenly changed topics as well in the last 10 seconds?
No, we just.
Well, most of the bullshit gluten artists I have to deal with will usually answer a question with another question instead of just saying yes or no.
The gluten we sell goes to our customers as businesses, not to individual sale.
Do you have bags of it for sale?
It's not for individual sale to anything
it's
other than
it's a bakery product, you know?
So we sell it to bakeries, yes, if you're buying it through the company.
And that's because you usually just want to pack it up in pallets or whatever, yeah. Or large bags, commercial sort of bags.
Yes, we only sell them in the 25-kilo bags, that's it.
How much is it for a bag? Maybe it's time you guys bought a faster computer.
What was that, sorry?
Maybe it's time you guys bought a faster computer.
Yeah, I know this for sure. I sit there bloody working on it every day. Right, so at net price for individual people, it's 110.
No, I'm serious. Don't sit there and nod your head and go, oh, yeah, 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 oh, great idea, yeah. If it's this slow to do basic sort of numeric type processing, that's just bullshit.
It's just the programs that we're using.
We'll use better programs.
This is just a sales list type.
Shit, you know, this is not computing the trajectory of the planets 500 years from now, you know.
Did you hear when I told you the price of the product?
Have I changed my mind?
No, I told you the price of the product. I didn't get a confirmation from you.
You didn't tell me the price of the product.
I did. For the individual sale, is 110.
For 25 kilo of protein?
25 kilo, yes.
Is that from the spelt, or is that from just standard grades of wheat, high protein wheat?
That's just standard vital wheat.
Okay. And where do you pick that up from at the mill?
So we only do them online sales. Should have every product on there that we sell.
It basically only shows, you know, bags of baking products and bags of straight wheats and some organic like spelts and rye. It doesn't show you, there's nothing there on specific sort of products like, you know, vital protein or vital bloody gluten, you know?
I've just been told then that I wasn't aware of. That it's actually a new website, so they're updating it as it comes along.
There's only one website that I found.
Yes, that one's the new one. It's continuing to get updated.
But it doesn't have all this information on it, and there's nowhere to order on it.
For a second while I talk to someone about this?
Yeah.
All right, thank you.
Oh, good. Now we're into the bloody phone call center. Ping pong games.
Yeah, sorry. We've just got, Taylor's just new. She, and unfortunately, the lady that deals with web sales and all the website stuff, she's just away on annual leave at the moment.
Well, how much of a hard job is it? Any 15-year-old can do this job as well, you know?
So what were you looking for?
What did she tell you that I was looking for?
Gluten.
Yeah, so what are you doing asking me what is it that I wanted after she told you what it was that I wanted?
So we don't sell gluten to individual, like it's not available for sale to just the individual person.
And why not?
I'm not sure why, it's just not something that we provide.
Well, change it.
I can definitely pass that on to the people that deal with that.
No. You know, it's just stop all this stupid, oh, we only sell this product to these people and that product to those people. Your products are for sale or they're not.
Yeah, so unfortunately it's not for sale.
We'll make it for sale.
I will pass that on to the people that deal with that for you, and I can, you know, that's all I can do as well, unfortunately.
You know, every time you do 500 ton of fucking gluten, just put, you know, 10 or 20 bags aside for, you know, small volume sales.
Yeah, I can definitely pass that on to the,
Well, do you want to make sales, or do you want to sit there going, "Hey, we can't sell them to you because it's our policy"? Yeah, you know.
Yeah, sorry. Unfortunately, that's all I can do for you.
Don't parrot the bloody party line. Make the sales.
I'm sorry. I don't know what you want me to say. I'm not in charge of what we sell.
Well, tell the person in charge, make the sales.
I did just say.
Are you a business that earns money from selling shit, or do you just sit there, you know, saying, "Oh no, we can't do this, we can't do that, we can't do this, we can't do that," you know, and making no sales?
I just do my job. That's what I do. I just come into work and I do my job.
Your job is to make sales so that everybody else in the company can earn a wage.
No, my job is to deal with accounts. I'm just helping out today to speak with you because we don't have the customer service lady.
Because you've got people answering the phone. The first one was a complete moron,
and the second one can't handle basic shit. Like, this is like no harder than working in a pie shop, you know what I mean? Oh, do you want a pie or a pasty? Oh, what sort of meat pies you got? Oh, I don't know.
Okay, well, unfortunately, that's all I can do, sorry.
Well, I'll organise to get a bag of fucking wheat protein for sale.
I can't do that.
Well, what the fuck are you doing there?
Not that.
I mean, seriously.
Yes, I'm sorry, sir.
Everybody else in that company is working a way to make products for sale, and you're doing everything you can to not make the sale. So what the fuck are you doing there?
I don't really think that you should be calling me, abusing me. I'm going to hang up.
You can play the victim, but you're a useless cunt.
I'm sorry that I can't help you
anymore. Fuck off.